As we follow the world, the devil, and our own sinful nature, our condition is one of complete and utter ruin. We were, by nature, deserving of wrath. Wrath is not simply God saying, well, you didn't do your best, but it's okay. Wrath is God's just and holy anger. God stands enthroned in Zion, and when he comes to judge not just this world, but even his people. And where have we stood? By nature, we were lost. We were dead. We were enemies of God. And what about the rest? Can we boast? Can we say, I made a good choice and I accepted what is good? No, we were dead. We could not choose God. We could not accept him. We could not believe in him. We were lost, dead, objects of wrath. Where is boasting? There's only one man who could really boast. It's one man who did not come to win the prize for himself, but came to win it for sinners.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Ancient Faith for Today's World, March 10, 2024. Ephesians 2, 1-10.
You can be sure there's probably been a lot of boasting with the people who are world champions and participate in things like the Olympics. But it might be hard to argue that there was someone who boasted more than someone named Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. Yeah, I know it's a long name, but that's because he was the Roman emperor at the time. And he decided that he was going to participate as an Olympiad, and he traveled to Greece, and he was so powerful that he changed the schedule so they would fit his schedule. And after hundreds of years of tradition, they bowed down and said, sure, we'll let you participate in our Olympics. And Nero entered the four-horse race. He was a pretty good racer. So he lined up with the other four-horse racers with his 10 horses and fell off his chariot. But it didn't matter because he was the emperor. He would have won anyways, so he argued he gets first place. And that's pretty much how it went with every event he participated in, including the events that never existed before, but he insisted they had to have, such as poetry and acting and music in the Olympics. And Nero gets first. Nero gets first, and he reported back to Rome his grand victories that he won in the Olympics. We might laugh at him, but isn't that the way that every human operates? That we like to boast about our achievements. We like to let others know how grand and wonderful we are when we accomplish something. Even maybe sometimes even make up a competition so we can win that competition. But what we see about our faith, when it comes to matters where boasting matters the most, really we have nothing to boast about. And that's one thing that makes the Christian faith altogether unique from every other religion, every other faith in this world, is it's free from any boasting. We see that today as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul helps us understand just how much we are void of any ability to boast. He outlines for us at the start of this chapter really three things that stand against us. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. Now, obviously, I heard you sing this hymn earlier. You came into the building. You're not dead. People that are born into this world are able to do things such as participate in the Olympics and achieve wonderful feats. But it doesn't matter what we might accomplish in life. Spiritually, we are dead in our sins. Just as Adam was told, you will die. We too will die, and we live under the curse, so we are powerless to rescue ourselves. Our circumstance, the guilt, the curse, all hangs over us. And like a dead person who can't fix their funeral, we're just biding our time until that day of judgment, completely dead and helpless. Paul gives the three enemies, as he says, your sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. The world stands opposed to the goodness of God, and the world stands opposed to us, spiritually speaking. Paul says that these believers, the Christians who were both Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus, they followed the ways of the world. And of course, I could probably spend a lot of time pointing to that world out there and the ways of that world and how it's confused about God's will, confused about what is good and right, confused about even what human life is, confused about what human sexuality is. And yes, Paul says, by nature, that's the way we all go. The world says, come on, do this, regardless of what God says. And by nature, we just follow the world blindly and lost in our sin, powerless to stand against it. The tides of the culture of the world would just sweep us away. At least that's how we are from birth. But there's more enemies. The second enemy he lists out of the three. He says, you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, if you think you could stand up to the tides of the world, the whole world against you, what about this one? A spirit, a powerful spiritual being who illegitimately takes the title ruler of this world, the prince of the air. Paul describes his attacks against us and against God, as he says, he has flaming arrows, he lies, he deceives, he devours and destroys. His name is Satan, or the accuser, the devil, the liar. And this fallen, powerful ruler of the angels has many other angels that fell with him and follow him to destroy and ruin God's people. And you know what? By nature, we were not born on God's side. We were born in the fallen image of our spiritual father, Adam, and a fallen image that joined the camp of the devil, so that when God comes on the last day, he will say to those who are enemies of God, depart from me, you who are cursed. Go to the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We've got a pretty tough situation, pretty powerless, not much we can do, not much we can boast in. Oh, but we'll still try. It says, all of us lived among them at one time. That includes the Apostle Paul. That includes every one of us. We were born this way. He says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And the word here is really an evil desire. That's why Jesus would say, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And then he goes on to list so many sins that each one we must pause and wonder, do I do that? Our sinful nature, sadly, is that dragon within us, that thing we often might overlook and think we don't have against us, but it is against us. Our sinful flesh hears the word of God and is not only spiritually dead, if it has any life spiritually, it is life that stands opposed to our God. And it follows the evil desires and thoughts of the heart. We're not born a blank slate. We are born with the world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh working against God and against the truth. So where's boasting? We'll boast. A lot of people in this world will try to boast, and they'll claim that they've done some good. We might even do what Nero did and make up our own little competitions, things that we think we're good at, and then insist, if I hadn't fallen off, I would have gotten first place. And I deserve a crown of victory. I deserve some accolades and some praise. And we'll make up our own good deeds, things we can achieve that really anyone could do. Things that we don't deserve to win, we'll claim for our prize. But Paul makes it clear, as we follow the world, the devil, and our own sinful nature, our condition is one of complete and utter ruin. He says, like the rest, we were, by nature, deserving of wrath. In the Greek, it more literally reads here, we were objects, by nature, of God's wrath. Wrath is not simply God saying, well, you didn't do your best, but it's okay. Wrath is God's just and holy anger. God stands enthroned in Zion, perfect in beauty and majesty, and he shines forth. And when he comes to judge not just this world, but even his people. And where have we stood? By nature, we were lost. We were dead. We were enemies of God. And what about the rest? Can we boast? Can we say, I made a good choice and I accepted what is good? No, we were dead. We could not choose God. We could not accept him. We could not believe in him. We were lost, dead, objects of wrath. Where is boasting? There's only one man who could really boast. It's not the emperor of Rome. It's one man who did not come to win the prize for himself, but came to win it for sinners. Christ Jesus came to this world, never once boasting of his own accord of who he was, but he had come down from heaven, and he had come to win the prize for the lost, the dead, the objects of wrath. And he had come to take the reins away from us and to drive the chariot himself. And he took it all the way to the cross, suffering, dying, so that by his undeserved love for his enemies, even when we were dead and stood against him, he could bring us out of death into life. Paul says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. God saw you, the sinner, lost in your sin. He saw us chasing after the things which kill us and bring us under the curse. He found us chasing after with our own evil desires these things. And he came to rescue us and pull us out of death and lift us up to life. It says God made us alive with Christ. No longer spiritually dead, those who are in Christ, that is those who by faith, trusting in him, have been brought to light, are made alive. This is what Jesus calls the first resurrection. You no longer are powerless, but you are part of the kingdom of God with a new heart. He made you alive with Christ because of his love, because of his rich mercy. He spared us, even when we were dead. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, I want you to note here, that's a done thing. God doesn't say, I'm going to carry you this far and you're going to do the rest. No, it says, you have been saved. Done. You who were dead, blind, an object of wrath, now saved from that by Christ, by his grace, that is, the love which we did not deserve. And more than that, God didn't just save you. It says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. You see yourself as that? Not just someone who's escaped the flames and the wrath and brought into the kingdom of God, but do you see yourself as seated with Christ in glory, as a royalty in God's kingdom, one who belongs there because of God's grace, and who is called God's own, seated with him in the heavenly realms? Christ, who died for us, rose again, and he now lives and rules over all things, and he says to you, sit right here. Sit here on a throne in my kingdom right now, today. This is what we read in Revelation 20, that the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's you, right now. The devil has no power over you. Your sinful nature is not your master. And the grave, that now is but asleep. You are reigning with Christ. And with Christ you have conquered those three enemies. And now the world, the devil and our sinful flesh cannot stop what Christ has done. And why did he do this? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And just so we don't miss it, Paul wants us to hear again, for it is by grace you have been saved. And how is this grace yours? Through faith. Trust in him. Whoever believes, we read, will not perish. And this, that is, the grace and the faith you received, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. God brought you into his kingdom dead and made you alive. He gave you the gift of his Spirit in baptism. He gave you the faith that you now have to trust in him. It's not from you. We dare not even boast so much as Christians to say, I accepted Christ when we were dead. Christ chose you. And when he chose you, he called you, and he gave you the gift of faith in his Spirit. So that, as Paul says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, this is what makes, one thing that makes our faith so different from any other. The Christian faith stands out from this world, from every other truth, every other thing that people cling to, or hope, or for life. Every other thing they try to do, they can find that maybe they'll boast, that they made a good decision, that they did the good deed, or that they followed the right path. But not in the Christian faith. There's no boasting. Simply the sinner who is dead, blind, an enemy of God, lost and condemned forever, that gets to say, God, by grace, made me alive. God gave me the gift of his grace and his faith and trusting in him. God brought me to be his own, called me by his gospel. And I will not boast, except maybe in this. I said there's no boasting, but there is boasting. There is proclaiming and praising what one man has done. That is no ordinary man. Jesus the Christ, the perfect Son of God. If we are to boast, we will boast in his death. We will boast in his resurrection. We will boast in his pouring out his gifts and his Spirit. And until then, Paul says, you are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance. So even now, as we serve Christ and as we live for Christ, even then we don't boast in that because God planned that out for us. He set that path, and he works in us what is good and pleasing. It's his plan. We are his project, and we will boast and praise him and none other. Amen.